goes with the earth. In other words, we are but dust and we shall be but dust. Everyone can consider this point. 5.12.8. So, this is Prabhupada's realization. Again, he talks about Vasudeva, cause of all causes. So Prabhupada says that actually, this is the way it is in this material world, but we can change our consciousness from material to spiritual. So my question is, what happens when we change our consciousness from material to spiritual? What is the change that happens to us? Because here it talks, okay, unless you have the spiritual spark and the senses, nothing has the power to move. So suppose you, now we have people in this world, they're moving as different transformations of dust. So what happens when we change our consciousness from material to spiritual? How does our vision change? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Matter becomes spiritualized.
Matter becomes spiritualized? Yes?
Our vision becomes more free.
Okay, our vision becomes more free from partisan spirit. Yes, Dhamma Krishna.
One is observer of the material world.
One is the?
Observer
of the material world. Okay, we give up the idea of I and mine, and we start to think he and his. Nishina Devi? Yeah, it's for Krishna. We try to do for Krishna. Lila Shuka? The material nature is cause and effect. And the living entity is the cause of his suffering and enjoyment. Okay, if we stop stop accepting it for our enjoyment, then we become the observer and we don't suffer again. It's according to our vision. You have something?
Same
thing. Okay. Yes.
The spiritual consciousness was hampered to be engaged.
So material consciousness, we're thinking how to get free from our difficulties, so we have some plan for happiness. But in spiritual, when we have spiritual consciousness, then we're always thinking, how can I engage in Krishna's service? So our consciousness is changing from material to spiritual. And I have a verse here, 7.7.36. Devotee is... When this happens, a devotee is freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. What are examples of devotees in this stage of consciousness, that they have material desires are burnt to ashes and the mind and body have been converted, intense devotional service? Yes. Gorkishordas Babaji. He was eating Gangabad. That was his prasad. Yes. Kushikrat, I was also thinking. Did you, how many went to that class, heard the class today?
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful class. Let's remember Kushikrat for a while.
Yes.
What struck you most about his qualities, Madan Puri?
Avaduta.
How was he Avaduta?
His dress was
quite... His dress? Not only his dress. His demeanor? Yeah, his demeanor, his abode, Lila Shuka.
His attitude of serving the devotees.
His attitude of serving the devotees, Vaishnava Seva, Dhamana Krishna.
He was above kunas, like he didn't take bath.
He was above the kunas, he didn't take bath.
But still, his consciousness was...
But his consciousness was completely somewhere else, yes. He didn't eat. If someone called him up and said, please translate this book, then he didn't eat for 5 days, 4 days. Yes?
You know, just today I was feeling some sorry that I did some, I miss him because Krishna somehow, I met him in 98. We are living, I was his neighbor in Saliti Ashram, next to him I was living. And one time I knocked his room because I don't know who he is. And I just asked him, I wanted to change my room, and he wanted to move from his room. And I said, Prabhu, can I saw your room?
See your
please,
room.
Please, Mataji, come. He was alone, and just today Mahalini Swami described, his room was full of boxes. There was no place to go inside, and there was few rooms. And
okay. Let's go on to another one. This will go on forever. No, it's enough. Okay, so we had experience of his how he used to live in the, with the bottles. 3,927 bottles, Maharaj said, in his room. Yeah? He didn't like to waste Krishna's energy. He was always by the window typing. He didn't turn on the electricity. Yeah, I also visited his room once, and it was papers, bottles. An MVT. MVT flat was not like an MVT flat. It was his own abode. So who knows why? I guess because he was so frantic in his devotional service that he didn't have time to throw away the bottles. He just drank the water and that was it. He just lived on water, yeah?
Every time I Xerox many of his books for myself.
You Xerox his books. And you would go and tell him, oh, I've Xeroxed your book, or I want to Xerox your book.
Sometimes I
have
no problem.
Yeah, no problem. You can Xerox all my books. You can Xerox everything, even more than I wrote. Yeah, I've written.
After hearing all this thing, I feel externally.
Yeah. Okay, after hearing about him, we should not judge a person externally. You walk in his place, you think, oh my God, this is the mode of ignorance. Where is this person? You know, he must be really in mode of, not in the mode of goodness. But then what is he writing? Yes. Yeah, when he got cancer, he refused to go to the hospital. He chose to let the disease go its natural way. And completely detached. For the last 1 year, like I've seen so many people leave their bodies in Vrindavan. Yeah. Yeah, he used not to do anything.
Drag his feet. He always had, plastic,
right.
The socks that hang down
to the bar.
Sometimes even he goes the one way, he was
sometimes two not of the same color.
And
they come to the samadhi.
And he had always his
bead bag. Yes.
And he always had his bead bag, drag his feet, come.
I saw him many years ago for Khichdi, food for life as well. Maybe when he ran out of money for Maha, then he used to go for food for life prasad every morning. I remember seeing him go morning, afternoon, food for life, Khichdi. I think he didn't have money for some years as well. But if you see like people who leave their bodies in Vrindavan, he looked like someone. For the last year or 2 years, he looked like someone who was about to leave in 2 or 3 days. But he was walking. He looked like the walking dead, you know, really. Nobody looks like that, you know, and walks. He was quite like, if you see him coming, you think, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is, anything else you were struck? No, now we're going to give other people a chance. You had your turn. Anybody else? Dhamma Krishna.
I had all the papers scattered around the
papers
room.
Papers were scattered around the room.
But he knew everywhere.
He knew where each one was. So there's what do you call it? There's order in the madness. Oh yeah, Giriraj Maharaj told a story about him, Crazy Peter. So your son went and told Kushikrat, oh, I know you're a Crazy Peter, I saw the story. Oh, Giriraj Maharaj told about you. So he was very interested in that. So she noticed since the last few months his eyes have become very beautiful. So we don't know who these devotees are, but he didn't go to Mangalarchi, he didn't. Of course, he also didn't eat. So, this is what Maharaj said. Okay, no problem, no Mangalarchi, no Guru Puja. But breakfast, oh, that we don't forget. Yes. You took his last darshan after he left his body. 4 hours before he left, he wrote a poem. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Dance? Dancing. Okay.
It will come in the internet, he said.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an example of someone who was completely... And then we heard how he left at the proper exact time. It was so auspicious. He was describing 4 p.m. was very one, the auspicious day of the moon. Moon was in moksha. Everything was very auspicious. Yes, on that day. Oh, amazing! Because he's so reclusive, you know, he would never want. So that day he asked for Ranjit to come. Amazing.
So he knew.
He must have known. He must have known then. Much. So he was in the dying process. Acha. Okay, so let us all pray for his mercy, Kushikata, because I think many of us have taken advantage of his books in some way or another in our studies. And we have him to thank for having all the sandarbhas, for having everything. 600 books. 600 books that were printed.
And
50 not printed.
16.
Who has a CD? I'm sure you can get it from someone. Yeah, so let's go on to verse. That was all about Paramatma and the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Verse 25. Here, I'll say some Sanskrit here. Now, that the last one was Paramatma. This one is going to be about Bhagavan and his Bhagavatas. Om namo bhagavate mahapurushaya mahabhavaya mahavibhutipataye sakala-sattva-parivrita-yikara-kara-kama-lankur-nalo-kalavita-charna-vrindhi-vrata-mahavameshtam-namaste. O transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, your two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in 6 opulences. You are the Supreme Person, mentioned in Purusha Sukta prayers. You are the most perfect self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So which words in Sanskrit describe that he's the Supreme Person? Here. Mahapurushaya. Okay. Purport, it is said, the Absolute Truth is one, but is manifested in different features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The previous verses describe Brahman and Paramatma features of the Absolute Truth. Now this prayer is offered in Bhakti Yoga to the Absolute Supreme Person. The words used in this regard are Sakala Sattvata Parivrita. The word Sattvata means devotee. Sakala means all together. The devotees, who also have lotus feet, serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hands. The devotees, now this is for us here, we're getting there. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore the Lord is addressed as Parama Parameshtin. He is a supreme person, yet he is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve the Lord, but even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. This kind of brought to mind, there's a purport somewhere in Ishopanishad which describes the Lord as the creator in one sense. One verse is analyzed in great detail.
Verse 8,
is it? It's a verse where he creates the desires, he creates the good qualities in the devotee. Some commentator, I think, analyzes the verse and breaks it all up into parts. Anyway, I can't remember right now. But anyway, I think it's around 16 or 17. It's near the end. Around 15, 16.
Oh, Jiva Goswami.
Jiva
Goswami?
No, 15.
15. He breaks down Bhagavan.
Yeah, he breaks down Bhagavan into 3 parts. And then he explains how Bhagavan... It means different things. Why don't you look that up? I think that's a really nice... Bhagavan, what these 3... So here we have the verse on Bhagavan, and we have him with his devotees. So how he helps his devotees, that's described by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī when he analyzes the word Bhagavan. And one of them, it just struck me that he's the creator of all the good qualities in the devotees. If you lack some qualities, then he creates them.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? What you need? He creates the good
16.
Qualities. It's 16.
And he's the leader.
And he's the leader.
Yeah.
He's the guide. He guides you back to Godhead. So the meaning, Bhagavan is a very full of meaning. So what does Bha mean? What?
So it's Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Bhagavad Sandarbha. Uh-huh.
So
Bha.
One meaning is one who fully maintains.
One who fully maintains. Bha.
And two is guardian.
Guardian.
Then Ga.
Ga.
Guide, leader, creator.
Guide, leader, creator.
And Van.
And Van.
All jivas live in him.
All jivas
live
in him. Okay, so Ga, that's the one I got, was he's a creator. And what is the guide? He guides you back to Godhead. And what does leader mean? Then, okay.
And also Van, so every jiva lives in him, and he lives in every jiva.
Okay, Van means every jiva lives in him, and he lives in every jiva. So Paramatma is also there in Bhagavan. And actually, Brahman, everything's in Bhagavan. Even Brahman is there, because the jiva is part of Brahman. So Brahman is in Val, and Van, everything is in Van. Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahman and Paramatma. So another point, what is another verse which shows how the Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee if he is not competent? Bhava Gahi Janardana, okay, that's a good one. Adi Purush, you have one? Pichet, okay, that's good. Patam Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Apavichau, Pavichova, Saravastam.
No, this one, 4:46. Apichet, Filaracha, no, Apichet, Pavibu, Saravastam, Pavibu.
Apichet.
See, once you join this, even if.
When you get on the boat of transcendental knowledge. I was thinking of another one, Ananyas Chintayantomam, Yejana, Vaipasite, Tesham. Nityabhiyuktanam, yoga kshemam, bahamyam. I give what you lack and I preserve what you have. How about Bhagavatam? We learned one verse. Aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam. That he only sees the bright side. He doesn't take the dark side, Prabhupada says, because in this world everyone has dark side. Where is the light side? But if you just give little service to Krishna, then he will never forget you. There is a verse I read about the holy name. If you just chant his name once, then he keeps your name in his heart. So this is even the greatest creator, Lord Brahma, he prays. He feels like I am incompetent. I cannot create. And it's true, he cannot without the mercy of the Lord. So third canto, we heard about all his beautiful prayers for empowerment. So verse 26, Shukadeva Goswami continued. This is the end of the mantras. Narada, having become a spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahma Loka. Purport. When Angira had first come to visit King Chitraketu, he did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga. The difference was, in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation. But after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform of renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. It is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood. Confirmed by the beginning. Bhogeshaya Pasaptanam Taya Pavita Chitsam Yavasaya Kavali Samayam Havititi. The minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. As long as one is very much attached to material enjoyment One cannot concentrate his mind on the subject matter, devotional service. So if any time you have a difficulty concentrating, this is why, Lord Krishna says. Krishna conscious movement is progressing successfully in the Western countries at the present moment because the youth in the West have reached the stage of vairagya, or renunciation. They are practically disgusted with material pleasure from material sources, and this has resulted in a population of hippies throughout the Western countries. Now, if these young people are instructed about bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, the instructions will certainly be effective. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Viraga Vidya, knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of bhakti yoga. In this regard, Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has said, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is also said, Bhakti Parishana, Bhavavi Bhakti Anyakta Cha. Advancement in devotional service or Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. Narada Muni is the father of devotional service, and therefore, just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Narada Muni is certainly a pure devotee. So I got a few points from this purport. One of the points was that it has to be the proper time for you to receive Krishna consciousness. So did anybody here have an experience of you got a book or you met a devotee but it just wasn't the right time? Yeah, Dhamman Krishna? How long did it take you before you met the first 6 years?
I looked in the chat, it's also according to chat.
According to your chart. Yeah, what was the problem? Why couldn't you accept at that time?
I wanted to sit on the two horses.
You wanted to sit on two horses? Put one leg on one and one leg on the other. What if they go that opposite directions? That's what happens.
I forgot Krishna consciousness and then I would try it again.
Oh, you would go, yeah, Bogan Tiag. Mayantapuri?
In 1798, I used to live in America.
You were living in America. And what? You never met a devotee.
Even though I moved out to cross America, I guess I was not ready.
You weren't ready. Yes? Manamali?
91 I got Krishna consciousness, but I didn't take very seriously.
91?
Then I lost my father and mother, 93.
Oh, then, so here's an example right from the Bhagavatam. In 91 he got first contact, and then after his mother and father died in 93, then he became serious. So we should not, we should become serious. Same with.
Father died same year.
No, 93.
Yeah, same year.
No, 91 he came in contact. Oh, same year they died. That's not, that happens a lot with Indian people. The wife dies quickly after the husband. Prashanta.
Earlier I went to the temple in Paris in 1979.
1979 you went to the temple. Guest.
I took the sadhana and I heard what the Vaishnava was preaching to me, but just came in and out. I can only remember the taste of prasadam.
You can only remember the taste of Vaishnava.
And then in Paris.
79 in Paris.
And then in 81, I came to Vrindavan.
81, you came to Vrindavan. Yes, yes, ISKCON.
The only thing I could remember were the white columns.
White columns.
Always I remember the white columns in the temple.
Were you attached to the Brahman?
But again, I did not. Only in 84, then I went to Greece.
Greece. You had enough of material world by then. Okay, it takes us a while. Yes, Lila Shukha?
It was in 1982.
82.
I was working in an accountant's office.
You You're in the accountant's office.
And after both, I was waiting for the bus, and I saw the bus was coming, and the devotee was coming, and he presented me some books.
So the devotee gave you some books.
And I said, yes, I might be interested, but my bus is coming. So he gave me some books, and I gave him all little money in my pocket, and I went for the bus.
Yeah, so you got the books, went on the bus.
And then I read the first page of the book. It was Krishna book by
Krishna book.
So and I read a little in it, and when I came home, I was thinking maybe I took the books and I put them on top of my library.
Put them on top of your library.
They remained there for 5 years.
5 years.
In 1987, I started to read Krishna book.
And you started reading in 1987. That was it. Okay. Yeah, so it takes, sometimes it has to be the right time. Actually, it reminds me of a story. One devotee, his sister got the book, Krishna book. And she looked at it and she said, oh, there's nothing here. So she gave it to the dog to play with. And he was eating the book. But then he saw it. He said, hey, I want that book. She said, no, my dog likes it. So then he said, no, I want to read that book. And then he became a devotee. That was Kurma Rupa, actually. You got the... yeah. something like that. I remember he got the Krishna book from the dog. His sister's dog. Anyway, yeah. It wasn't the right time for his sister, but it was the right time for him. Yeah. So anyway, this is... Well, I want to read something. There's another point in this purport. Just like Prabhupada makes his Narada came to Chituketu at an opportune time, so Srila Prabhupada came to the West at the right time. So Arvinda Swarup writes in the ISKCON Communications Journal that Prabhupada, in a lecture in 1971, Prabhupada commented, these American boys are fed up with this materialistic way of life. They want something spiritual. Because there is no such information, no leader, they are becoming hippies, frustrated and confused. And because here is something substantial, they are taking it. This is a secret of success of Krishna conscious movement. So Arvinda Swarup did a little research from Bhagavatam, and he got the names that Prabhupada called hippies. Hippies appeared morose, distressed, wretched, unclean, without shelter or food, irresponsible, unregulated, lying idle, without any production. So that was how Prabhupada saw the hippie culture. So Arvinda Swarup says, well, it may seem strange someone like Prabhupada with a message so traditional and conservative should have attracted such radical youth. What was his appeal? So what do you think? What was it that Prabhupada had that attracted the hippies? Yeah. He was so old, he was so young, yes. His love, okay, yes, yes. Sunday feast, yeah, that was a big attraction. That's my first contact, was it? Sunday feast, yeah.
Simplicity.
His austerity also.
Conviction.
Stay high forever. Yeah, that was... And the posters. Stay high forever. It was true, actually. He did. Kindness. So, what Arvinda Swarup says, maybe his sustained and systematic critique of modern material civilization... Could it be this? But here, what he says is really nice. In my opinion, the deep attraction was Srila Prabhupada's ability to implant an extraordinary hope, the ideal of sainthood as a goal of life, a practical vocational aim to become a saint. Prabhupada. Thus, the young men and women of the West became convinced they could attain direct experience of God in this life. I remember when I was first coming, I said, will I see God face to face? They said, yes. I said, okay. So I'm still going, I'm still waiting for that day. Although Srila Prabhupada also made it clear such an achievement demands an uncompromising standard of purity, his followers were sure that despite their past actions and present conditioning, they could, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, achieve this. We were thinking, okay, maybe 3 years. Then some became 3 years. Then there was a rumor circulating, okay, after 12 years of sadhana, you'll get self-realization. But then 12 years came. We're still waiting. So, yeah, but we really had, we were convinced that we were going to become, you know, self-realized in no time, very soon. That's, Prabhupada was giving it to us like that. Very soon, in a second, you can be Krishna conscious, he was saying, and so we were going for it. So we were really incompetent, but Prabhupada, he was the one who could make us competent. He was talking about being incompetent. So there was one analogy, I think it was, anyway, I can't remember, some devotee in Memories of Srila Prabhupada, he gave an analogy, Prabhupada gave an analogy, that there was some useless old wires laying on the ground, there was some wood, and there was a box, and you put the three together, you put the wires like this, you have the wires, you have the wood, and then you have the box. You put it together, and you get a very beautiful musical instrument. So the devotee said, so we were like all those useless things that were lying around, and you put us together to make us make beautiful music. Prabhupada said, well, I was also useless in India, but when I came here, I became useful. So that was exactly what happened. That we're incompetent, but Prabhupada, he gives us the competence. If we depend on him. Oh, where'd you go?
When I was alone.
What?
When I was alone, nothing was happening.
When I was alone, nothing was happening.
And when you were alone, also.
And you were alone, nothing was happening.
But together we make beautiful music.
But together we make beautiful music. And so Prabhupada, he gave us so much hope that spiritual life is practical, that we never thought that we could actually do spiritual life. But he made a very practical alternative to the hippie culture, very practical. A real spiritual world to explore, experience. And Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, so we really thought we could achieve the impossible in this life. We can, yes, we can get self-realization. Go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada was the one who gave us the power to serve Krishna, and Krishna, he gave us, was so kind, he gave us Prabhupada. Oh yeah, Kushikrat was Crazy Peter, okay. So he left his body in Vrindavan and went back to... So he's a good example of how it happened. Then he learned Sanskrit. He translated all the books of the Goswamis and more. And then he left his body in Vrindavan, always meditating. And he was always writing verses. And one time he showed me his verses. And I thought, he said, what do you think? I said, oh, I said, this is way beyond me. I'm just, you know, conditioned. So I'm not in this rasa. I'm not liberated. It's for liberated souls. I said, I cannot understand this. When he showed me his poems, I said, this is for very high devotees. I said, yes. I can't understand. I'm not on that level. Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote all these in English. He was writing in English at the end. And, yeah. Yes, he is very advanced. Previous life, this life also. What to speak of previous life? Verse 27. O King, fasting and drinking only water. This is, again, like Kushikrata, he had all these water bottles stacked up. He was only drinking water. And Prashad, Maharaj described Prashad, there were many plates of Prashadam in his room. 2 months old, 1 day old, 2 weeks old, but the water bottles were empty. So he was, somehow he had a supply of water that kept him going all the time. Here, fasting and drinking only water. Chitraketu, for 1 week, continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narada Muni. Verse 28, King Parikshit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chittaketu achieved the rule of the planet of Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. So Prabhupada says, if a devotee, after being initiated, adheres rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master, he's naturally endowed with the material opulences of Yatadara, Atipatyam, and similar posts as byproducts. Isn't that wonderful if anyone wants mystic powers here? If you After initiation, you strictly follow the instructions, you will get Vidyadhara, all these things, mystic powers, if you like. A devotee need not practice yoga, karma, or jnana to achieve a successful result. Some promise by Srila Prabhupada here. Devotional service alone is competent to award a devotee all material power. Pure devotee, however, is never attached to material power, although he gets it very easily without personal endeavor. Chituketu received the side benefit of his devotional service, which he rigidly performed in accordance with the instructions of Narada. So Narada also, he described how he got these things. I won't read the verse because we're a bit short on time. 1539, you can look it up. I'll just read the verse, but not the purport. It's 1539. Narada says, I was endowed first with transcendental knowledge, as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with spiritual opulence, and then with his intimate, loving service. So Prabhupada says, the way, in the purport, Prabhupada tells you how you can do this. Commune with the Lord by transmission of transcendental sound. A completely perfect method for approaching the Lord by such pure contact with the Lord without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10. The devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of Vedic literature. So then he goes on to explain the rest. So chanting the holy name without offenses, then you can get all these things. Verse 29, thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chituketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress. He attained shelter at the lotus feet of Anantadev. So Prabhupada says a devotee's mind is never diverted, this is the middle of the purport, paragraph 1, to the material side of the temple. Brick, stone, and wood used in construction of the temple are spiritual, just as a deity, although made of stone, is not stone, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the more he can understand the elements of devotional service. Nothing in devotional service is material. Everything is spiritual. Consequently, a devotee is awarded so-called material opulence for spiritual advancement. This opulence is an aid to help the devotee advance toward the spiritual kingdom. Thus, Maharaj Chituketu remained in material opulence as Vidyadhara Pati, Master Vidyadharas. By executing devotional service, he became perfect within a very few days, returned home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord Shesh Anant. So it's interesting, very few days meant a whole nother life. He took another birth as Vidyashura. A karmi's material opulence and devotee's material opulence are not on the same level. So what's the difference between a karmi's material opulence and a devotee's opulence? Madanapuri. Is personally given by the Lord to the devotee, whatever the devotee has. So it's the result of his karma. Okay, the devotee gets it from Krishna's hands, and the non-devotee gets it as a result of his previous karma. Vandamala?
Non-devotee thinks this is my possession.
Non-devotee thinks this is my possession.
Devotee thinks this is Lord's, I am a caretaker of this.
Okay, and devotee thinks I'm caretaker of this. You see, sometimes I get other devotees, you see other devotees' books, in the care of such and such das or dasi. Yes. Yeah, material opulence gives you more desire and it gets you more in maya. Okay, spiritual opulence makes your attraction more for Krishna. Okay, so I think I better stop and let's have some questions and comments. We have 10 minutes left. Anything on these verses? Or anything? Is it the tradition to disclose the intimate things? But I think... I don't know if it's tradition, but it's the mood of Mahanidhi Swami, for sure, to disclose intimate things.
Why didn't he start to speak like 1 month ago?
What?
Why didn't he give the same class 1 month ago? This?
He did?
Why wouldn't
why
he?
Didn't he? Why
who did not give?
Mahanidhi
Swami. Why didn't he give? Yes. Yeah, I was also having the same thing. That we, you know, it's really, we really appreciate devotees after they die. Yeah, he couldn't say those things, actually. He couldn't say those. He couldn't say all those things with him here. Also. The death is final seal of approval when you see how the person died. Yes. He passed the exam. The final exam passed by Kushikrat. So, yes, yes. Sometimes they... Yeah. You cannot reveal things. You cannot reveal confidential things. But his Mahanidhi Swami's mood is to reveal confidential things in the class, so... We can expect that he will. Yeah, it was quite interesting. But what are you going to do? So anyway, it's quite an inspiration though, for all of us to see that. Of course, who can imitate? Nobody can imitate Kushikrat in any way. Not the way he lived, not the way he dressed, not the way he spoke, not the way he translated. Yes. I don't know how he learned it, but it was in Los Angeles. Oh yes, after he became, he became a devotee, and then he learned Sanskrit. He might have even taught himself, and I know he wrote some books on how to learn. He did. He wrote some books how to learn Sanskrit. Yeah, I know. I was in his class. That's why I remember him. Yeah, he was teaching Sanskrit. He was teaching some kind of Sanskrit to us. It wasn't. Yeah, we were writing Sanskrit poetry without knowing Sanskrit. It was quite... He thought I knew Sanskrit because I had a big vocabulary because I would always read the synonyms of Prabhupada's books, so I knew a lot of words, and he thought, you didn't study. I said, no. He said, oh, it's like language for you. I said, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was teaching us for a week or two or three, and then he gave up on us. I don't know what happened. He was teaching. I think some Purana, what is he? He had Vishnu Purana, yeah. He had us reading Vishnu Purana or something like that. And then we would try to figure out, he would have all the words in the board and we would try to figure out, try to translate it with him. No. I don't think he and Gopi ever got together. He was quite a loner, as Maharaj said. He was quite a loner. Always. He was completely independent. Like sometimes I would stop and I would say some words to him. Sometimes he wouldn't talk to me. Sometimes he would, you know, have a little conversation on how you're doing. Remember one summer I came back after 2 months, I go away for the hot season. He had stayed here. He said, I said, how are you? He said, oh, I was vomiting blood the other day. You know, somebody found me. And I said, really? What happened? And some summer he was just, and the servant found him. And he was just completely independent, dependent on Krishna. Independent of the material world, but dependent on Krishna. Oh, his question is, did he achieve vidyadhara adipatyam without changing his body? It appears so. It appears that he did not change his body. Otherwise it would have said he changed his body. He became a yogi and got all the powers. It sounds like more like he got mystic powers in his body, and then he could fly, and it was dormant in his body, and he just got them. He didn't change his body. Yeah?
He's like Ellen, he's Chitrapi too. Then he becomes Vijayapati in the same line.
Yeah, it would appear so. Yeah, after in a few days. It means after his next birth.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he went back to Godhead after his birth of Vritashar. Yeah. In this life. Yeah, in this life he's going to offend, in this life of Chituketu. Then next life he'll be Vritashar, and then he'll go back to Godhead. Change of planets, yes. Yeah, in the same life. He was promoted to Vidyadhara. Yeah. Dhammakrishna. He's saying the yogis can leave the gross body and stay in the subtle. But it would have said, I would think in Bhagavatam, that he left his gross body. It didn't say. He just got mystic powers. He got, I mean, appeared. That's what appears. You can research it. There's any commentary on that? What? No, okay, nobody. If he was already perfect, yes. So the question is, if he was already perfect in himself, then why did he have to take another birth? Do we come?
Vidyashura.
Vidyashura. Madan Gopal? Yes, actually we'll find out. Prabhupada said it's a plan of Krishna. It was the Lord's will. It was Krishna's plan. See, if he had stayed a Vidyadhara, he would have had to stay for millions of years in that, as that. You know, he wouldn't die for ages and ages and ages, millions and millions of years. But Krishna wanted him to go back quickly. So therefore, he, in the heart of Parvati, he caused her to curse. And then he became Vidyashura, so he would go back quickly back to Godhead. That was the Lord's desire that he go back quickly. That, although he was perfect, but the Lord didn't want him to stay in the material world that long, right, as he would have stayed as a Vidyadhara Pati. We'll see that in chapter, when we study chapter 17, and Prabhupada will explain that point, that it was the Lord's desire to bring him back quickly. Anything else in these verses? Okay, I'll go to Shri Prabhupada.